Jones.
All right, everybody, it's time for That Movie Podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Are you like a crazy person?
Negative. I am a meat popsicle.
Would you like to know more?
Point Break or Bad Boys 2?
Which one do you think I prefer?
No, I mean, which one do you want to watch first?
I were a king of the forest. I'd ruff, and I'd ruff, and I'd ruff.
Welcome to That Movie Podcast.
I was going to say, is your intro going to be something about like, all right, everybody, welcome to That Movie Podcast. Let's fuck some underage girls.
Oh, God. All
right, you pedophiles come out of the woodwork.
All right, all you
pothead. We're going to legally look at a 17-year-old's boobs.
17? I thought they said she was 16.
She was 17.
Oh, yeah. The blonde chick was 16.
I think she was of age. It was the daughter was 17, but a lot of people say she was 16, but she was 17.
Oh, okay.
Because she said she was thinking about getting a car.
Yeah.
Or her dad.
The character was 16.
Oh,
the actress was 17.
Well, oh, really?
Yeah.
So it really was illegal. Yeah. We broke the law.
I can't stop
unless
thinking
they film
of
that
Hocus
like
Pocus when I see that.
Yeah,
scene.
That's what made me feel so
I'm
weird.
Like, oh no, she's the cute like little sister on Hocus Pocus.
Oh wow,
she's the one that talks about the bazongos, and then she got some bazongos of her own.
Yeah, you know what? I never understood. Well, I mean, I don't
want to. Are we just jumping right into the movie?
I don't want to step on anybody's like things they want to bring up. But she always looked at like breast augmentation stuff, and was like, she had big boobs.
She had really big boobs.
Did she in real life? Wait, what happened?
I don't think she had breast augmentation in real life, but in the movie, she's
looking.
Well, I
think that's what they were. It was kind of like a joke. Like, she was saving it up for a breast job, but then she got breasts, so she doesn't need to use the money for that. So they had that money to spend.
Well,
that's not why she was going to spend it, but sure.
Yeah, she said she'd been saving the money, but it was just because she was like legitimately like looking it up online about breast augmentation, and it was like, you don't need it.
Oh.
Like,
I didn't see that part. I thought it was just like, I was going to save it up for a boob job, but then, you know.
I know, but the movie doesn't
now
take.
Now I got these big old honkers.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't take place 17. Over that long.
She's not 17 anymore.
Does that make it
oh
okay,
my god,
Jason?
I have a daughter. This is terrible.
I was going to say, this movie is like a glimpse into Jason's nightmare world where he's Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, but the movie doesn't take over like a long enough period of time where
are we
like,
actually
that
starting?
Just
I don't know. I'm so confused.
We're talking, aren't we?
We didn't do an intro.
We'll edit it in.
Okay, go on, Bob.
Oh, I was going to say, no, the movie didn't take place over long enough time for that to like have developed.
Her boobs?
Yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm Jason.
I'm Matt.
I'm Bob.
And we're just, there's a whole lot of lumber in here tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no ladies.
Lumberjacking all night long.
All night long.
And Bob's phone is interfering with the microphones.
Sorry.
That was like perfect timing, dude. Little phone mic fart.
Yeah, this is weird. I it feels weird without like more people here.
I know.
We can make like a stuff something.
I have a maternity pillow that I sleep with. It's like 7 feet long. I'll go bring that in here and set it up.
So you can only snuggle with half of it, or it snuggles with half of you. I was going to make a you're a tall joke, but I failed.
Yeah, apparently.
You're a tall.
No, yeah, for Christmas.
You're tall.
For Christmas, Mariah goes, I got you a present. And she's like, it's something you've always wanted, but don't like, you know, get your hopes up or anything. And I saw it was this huge box, and I was like, what the fuck could she have gotten me?
Oh, yeah, sex doll.
So I opened it up, and all of a sudden, like, because it was, like, so compressed and folded up in the box. And once I opened it up, it's like, and starts expanding. It's just, like,
sex doll.
It's like this 7 foot long giant pillow. It's helped my back like ridiculous. But yeah, it's just giant pillow. It's nuts. And it's a maternity pillow, which is hilarious. So I sleep with the maternity pillow. And I'm not ashamed.
Welcome to being a dad.
Yeah. No, just welcome to being a huge guy. Puts a lot of stress on those bones. I was hoping for somebody to make a joke there. Oh, God.
I think it's the cheeseburgers.
Good one, you dick.
So, tonight, we're talking about American Beauty. 1999 drama romance. A sexually frustrated suburban father has a midlife crisis after becoming infatuated with his daughter's best friend. Top billed cast.
Well, you're just taking one it of you whole, two.
I know. I'm pointing up, Bob. No.
Fuck. Be prepared.
I know we're gonna jump into soon. I thought we were gonna bullshit.
We can bullshit.
Yeah. We're going to have to redo that, though, because I don't want to edit all that shit.
All right, so, I don't mind redoing
So, how was your guys' week since last time we recorded?
All right. Listen to the Star Wars episode where you got very drunk.
Yes. It was
definitely one of the highlights.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. That you know, the episode turned out really good, considering the circumstances.
But yeah, I two things. Got really, really pumped for the Cloverfield trailer that just popped up.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
You don't really see a lot, and it's kind of weird.
Because it's a totally different type of...
Yeah, supposedly it's going to be a blood relative to Cloverfield, so I don't even know what that means. But this one seems kind of like a more dramatic Kimmy Schmidt type of situation.
Yeah, because they're all underground.
Yeah, just hanging out with John Goodman. They're going to run out of food very soon.
Just eat John Goodman. He's good for like a year.
You know, with movies...
Maybe.
It Lots seems to me that movies that have trailers that come out early that are like... You don't really have any idea what's going on. Those movies never end up good.
Well, this one's different because the movie's done. It's coming out March. The trailer just came out this week.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
They've been working on it and just haven't said anything about it.
It's been done in secret. But the movie's done.
Well, it's because
they've already screened the movie for a few people before the trailer even came out.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of movies, though, where it's like they have these trailers that tell you nothing. But it makes you really kind of interested.
Like Star Wars?
Oh, well. I thought they showed you a lot in Star Wars.
How about the trailers, at least the early trailers for Deadpool, that showed you ridiculous fight scenes, but like actually nothing about what the movie's going to be about? Like, that's one of my favorite ways of marketing shit.
I like not being.
That just tells me that there's not much substance.
Oh, there's going to. In a way,
there's not going to be a lot of substance in Deadpool.
In a way, there's not going to be, but in the same way, there is. Like, because it'll be fun. Ridiculously meta, it's just going to be. It's going to be awesome.
We'll see.
Don't say meta. God damn it.
Fourth wall breaking.
Self-aware. I have high hopes for it, but I'm a little bit afraid it is going to suck, though, because it's still Fox. And
But just seeing like how passionate the director and how passionate Ryan Reynolds is about it.
Ryan Reynolds is always passionate about what he does, and he's great for it. But I mean, he was passionate for Green Lantern.
Was he?
Yeah. Okay, I went to the panel, and he's all, you know, he was sounding like a champ. He sold me on it. Hurt my heart. Ripped me in two. Why you do this?
You've been burned before.
Look like a old testicle.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cloverfield. Because when did you guys watch the original or the first one?
Yeah, I have it. I love that movie.
I know I did, but I'm trying to think of. I guess it wasn't that memorable because I'm like, sure I saw it.
It's a Godzilla movie with a Blair Witch spin on it.
And more X-Files ish than more Godzilla. Like, because everything that you can tell, like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background. They never explain shit.
You know what? Like, what was this? Maybe this is why I was thinking of. For the first one, like a year before it came out, did they have
Yeah, you know what? This is what you're talking about.
Yeah, they had a trailer that looked like news said shit. Fucking nothing.
Well, no, when they did the trailer for the first Cloverfield, it was like literally you don't know what's going on. You only see the point of view.
People like in a building or something. Yeah,
you see like a party. Well, lights go out. News is saying some explosions, something happened. All of a sudden you see like a building fall down and the Statue of Liberty's head comes across and people are running and that's pretty much all that you know.
Well, the very first ones I had seen, I remember seeing some stuff on MySpace, believe it or not. And it was like people thought it was real. And they didn't show like a bunch of that stuff, like buildings falling over. But they showed like... people, it was stuff that's not even shown in the movie, but it was like people down in the sewers, like looking at, like videotaping these creatures and stuff.
That stuff went on after the trailer went out, because I fell deep into it, and they had like a huge viral marketing campaign, because the movie didn't even have a title back then. It was just, what was it, like 1-1-1808 or something, like the day that the movie was going to be released. It didn't have a title or anything. It was just 1-1808. So you follow that, you go down some rabbit hole, and it leads you to a fake website for a Japanese oil drilling company, and then you're not learning anything, but that's where that footage came from, was from the fake Japanese website. But I fell so deep into it, I found
that's
like
racist.
A... the way you knew that stuff was linked to the movies, because they had Slusho, and that was like a J.J. Abrams thing, where Slusho was in pretty much
Abrams.
J.J. Abrams. He has Slusho in everything except for Star Wars, as far as I know. But somehow I stumbled across the website and I ordered like 3 shirts. So I have 3 Slusho shirts still from Cloverfield. Very small, like when I was really tiny.
Oh.
I was like Bob size back then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bob, you can have them.
Were you dying?
I think so. I don't know what happened. I played a lot of Halo and forgot to eat.
Just living off Mountain Dew.
Doritos. But I'm super excited for this, only because I really hope there's going to be a big viral marketing campaign like Cloverfield did, because that like took over my life for a while. Like I was up way too late every night just kind of researching everything. That's where I found out about Cthulhu, because everyone thought it was going to be like a movie about Cthulhu or something.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what the hell that thing was up until then.
Yeah.
People thought it was going to be
still never really get a good look at it in Cloverfield.
Yeah, you do. It's
one, like 2 times, maybe.
Good enough to know that it looks pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I don't like the monster design on that.
Yeah.
But
those
people thought
spider egg things were cool.
Those things kind of brought me out. I don't want to talk about Cloverfield anymore. okay, new Cloverfield.
That movie podcast episode on Cloverfield.
Yeah, we should do that.
Cloverfield is a... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so that came out. It was surprising that the movie's already done. Also, I watched Revenant today.
Oh, I want to see that.
I want to see that too.
A harsh movie to watch. About a goofy...
goofy romp through the woods.
Yeah, it's a goofy frontiersman who just can't get a break.
it's like National Lampoon's movie. That would be awesome if they marketed like that, and then people go as like on a date, and they're like, oh!
Well, that's how the Deadpool thing is being marketed now.
With like the Valentine's Day?
Yeah, romantic comedy.
Oh, that was awesome.
With that movie, The Revenant, it does seem like it is the perfect movie for winning awards. Where it's like, you know, it's not like you walk out going, oh, that was fun. Like, it'd just be like, oh, that was like...
It was a journey.
It was intense.
It was a journey. I honestly...
I think that's what, like, the people who vote for that shit, that's what they're into.
Yeah, but after watching it, like I know everyone wants Leo to win the goddamn Oscar already, but this isn't going to be the one.
He should have won it for Wolf of Wall Street.
I think so. I think he did a lot better job in there. Like, I loved him in Revenant, but literally half of his dialogue was just...
just half my dialogue.
That's, if no one else was talking, that's going to be a ringtone. Oh, by the way, I got an awesome ringtone of Stacy going, I know, you're a big cuddly teddy bear. And I was like, that would be a perfect, like, alarm for you in the morning, Matt.
No, the perfect alarm would be just Stacy going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
All right, I'm up.
I got another one of her going, it's the Aluminum Falcon. She was so drunk. Not as drunk as me, though.
No, you were the winner.
Yes, I won. Yeah. I won drunkness. I won a trip to the bathroom. The
porcelain trophy.
Oh, God, that night. That was awful. And then being all pretzeled in the shower, in the tiny little shower with the shower hose.
Seems like we've been knocking out episodes like crazy lately.
So what about you guys? Anything cool this week?
Built most a fence today.
I saw that. I thought you were going to make like a guard tower or something.
I'm thinking about it.
Got to get
thinking
that.
About it. I got to find an archer. No, like we almost
Lana!
Done. Gonna probably finish it tomorrow.
It's just I to guess. Keep your giant-ass dog... Put.
Well, yeah, because we're now, since I work in Fresno, I can't come home for lunch. The dogs are stuck inside all day.
You still have the baby monitor watching them?
Yeah.
I feel like in a way, you're a much more intense parent than like what Jason
than I
does.
Am.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So we feel bad about them being inside all day. So I want, and then we're like...
Man, we gave these dogs a shelter. I feel so terrible right now.
Well, because they're stuck inside and you can't go to the bathroom or anything. So we built a fence around like the patio. And then I was like, well, we got to get a dog door. My mom's like, we're just going to have to take off the door or what? And it's like, it's about what it's going to be like. I can't hear myself anymore.
I'm trying to, we're peaking all kinds of levels.
I can't hear me. I can't hear me.
I'm going to turn us up on the.
Me.
I want to hear me. Okay.
I need that.
I can hear me now.
Vanilla chocolate voice that is Bobby Payne.
Vanilla, white chocolate.
Yeah, that one.
White chocolate vanilla. My wallet is hurting my ass.
Oh, man, must be nice. Pack full of bills?
No, it's packed full of fucking receipts.
What are you, George Costanza?
Costanza.
Yeah, so we're building a fence. That's been fun. So I'm liking how it's coming out.
Yeah.
And I found, we were driving down the road, and there was like a yard sale type thing that this lady always has. It's every day,
yeah. You
know, at her house out in the country. We stopped by. And they had like this L-shaped like workbench that's all like super ratty, you know, like paint's all falling right off and shit. And I go, how much you want for that? She goes, $10. And it's like...
Score!
It's a L-shaped like 4 foot by 4 foot and it's fucking heavy. Like it's really like, it's not like a piece of shit.
Is it Bob heavy or is it Jason heavy?
Nobody's Jason.
Or is it like Marty McFly heavy?
That's heavy, man.
More like Marty McFly. but it's pretty cool. So
the Parkinson's.
It's real shaky. So I'm
going. Need self-tying shoes.
My next project after we get the fence done is I'm going to make it into a bar. I'm going to sand down the top.
Yeah, I think you were telling me about that last time.
And poly it.
You
want to
give
it
like an old looking paint job or something?
Well, yeah, so the top and everything, I'm gonna like stain it, make it nice so like you can set your glass on there and not have to worry about it. But the sides and everything that have been like actually like weather worn, I'm gonna keep like that. And, like, just poly over it to keep it that way. And so it'll be a cool-ass bar, I think.
That'd be cool.
Cool-ass bar.
I'm excited because our apartment's going to have a little...
Spoken like a true bro.
Our apartment's going to have a little bar area.
Awesome. You have to have that.
My house has a little bar area.
Yeah, because I didn't get to see a model of my exact apartment, but the one when she was describing it was basically going to be like that little cabinet with shelves.
That's cool.
Can you turn my volume up a little bit on my headphones?
Yeah. Hear this one.
Where's Amanda?
Check. There we go.
Fuck you!
Fuck you!
Fuck you! No, I don't do it.
Yours
right.
is more of a I don't do Kung it, Fury Hitler.
Yeah. Fuck you, Kung Fury!
Oh, I wish I would have joined in on that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Man, I got a boner.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to hit my beep.
All right, let's talk about this fucking movie.
Yeah, speaking of boners.
Speaking of boners, Kevin Spacey's so hot in this movie.
He was 35.
Was he really?
His character was at least. Let's see. What is he right now? It's cool if I steal some of your rum later, Jason.
Yeah.
I thought about having a little something, maybe. But I'm driving Sam's car, so I got to be really careful. I don't want to get a dude.
Ease the nerves.
I know. But, you know, actually, whenever I record with you guys, it takes me like an hour to drink a beer.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm all right.
Time to crack open that Monster Energy drink. Monster Energy, unleash the beast.
So he would have been like...
They don't pay us. Fuck them.
I got a shout out.
I'm more of a Red Rain. More of a Red Rain drinker. Red Rain. Unleash the rain.
Menstruation?
Yeah.
That sounds like a period.
Heavy flow.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so he would have been 40 during American Beauty. He's 56 right now.
All right. American Beauty, 1999. Drama, romance. A sexually frustrated suburban father has a midlife crisis after becoming infatuated with his daughter's best friend.
Top build cast: Kevin Spacey, Annette Bening, Thora Birch, Wes Bentley, Mena Suvari, that can't star in a movie that doesn't have the word American in it, Chris Cooper, Peter Gallagher, Allison Janney, there's Scott Bakula.
Yay!
And we'll stop there. Oh, John Cho was in it for a second.
I'm glad you mentioned Gallagher. Because I was going through in case I had to read them, and I was like, oh, because sometimes you kind of have to scroll through and like, oh, like that person, you got to mention them. But they're not like in the first four or five people. And that was one of the ones you definitely had to do.
All right, tagline, look closer.
Oh, that sucks.
I know, it's a terrible tagline.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, really? Okay. Wanna go to prom?
I think this showed me, above anything else, that white people are strange.
Oh my god. So, one of the... Okay, let's just talk about the opening scene.
Where he's jerking in the shower?
No, the very opening scene when he's talking about, like,
This is my street, it's the camera footage first.
We're zooming in from, like...
No, it's the camera footage where they're in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
At the very first, and then she's like... oh man, I wish someone would put him out of his misery. And he's like, do you want me to kill him? And she's like, yeah, could you? I was like, I thought this was a romance because that's what it said on the thing. And I was like, what is this? And then it cuts to the, this is my street, this is my life, and this is the year I die. And it's like, wow.
Well, yeah, ever since, like, with that, and then this is the year that I die, and then, like, on the final day, I was just, like, so tense the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it really, that's a really big testament to the directing.
Yeah.
And like, just the cinematography that they could make you feel that tense. Like, after we watched the movie, I was sitting there, and me and Mariah were just kind of sitting there, and
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, no, it was like, I don't want to go to bed yet. Let's watch New Girl.
I'm going to jerk off right beside you as you sleep.
Oh, God, that was
the marriage.
This movie...
that's not quite how it is.
The first time definitely Hollywood is... Says so. The first time definitely is like that. You're like, oh, shit, like, he's going to die. Like, you know what I mean? So you're always kind of... Can't just relax. When you watch, after you watch, you can kind of relax and just enjoy the movie after right. that.
Yeah.
Because this is one of my favorite movies. And
was this your first time watching it, Matt?
This is my first time.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys, I mean, how you guys I've always had known never about it. Seen this movie.
I don't know. Just I don't think I...
I never watched movies.
It was always there for me. I think I even rented it once, just didn't get around to watching it. But I don't know. I just,
how could you rent a movie and not watch it?
I worked at Blockbuster. I got a lot of free movies.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me see.
My buddies got in trouble for giving me free rentals.
I used to give them out all the
They'd
time.
The coupon and go, oh, it's your time for your free...
Oh, no. I would give people, like, on my account, like, if I trusted you, I'll give you one of my rentals. Because they were giving me, like, 10 a week after a while.
Nice. Because no one's going to come in and rent them 10. Anyways.
Well, yeah. And But I can't even watch, like, 10 movies in a week. There's no way.
It makes you so sad that movie rental places aren't around anymore, except for right down the street from your house.
Yeah, Video World down there.
Their parking lot was full
Now. Pizza Planet gets all crazy over there.
Yeah.
Lots of drugs.
It's all kinds of homie gangster people, though.
Yeah, brown people.
Brown people.
White people.
Like one-quarter year people.
Yeah.
So anyway, after that, whenever they cut to that scene of him jacking off in the shower, it was just like,
this is the highlight of my day.
When he said that, all downhill from here. When he said that, I was like, you know you could jerk it again, right? Just do it again.
At night?
This is like the highlight of his day. Do it again.
I would save that for nighttime.
Well, I guess he does it at work too, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. When he wrote his performance evaluation.
That was so funny.
Actually, this reminded me like a more serious office space.
Yes. Yeah. I kept thinking that too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But man, it was just, I was blown away. Like I really was. I didn't know what to expect. And it really did surprise me in a good way. I know there was a lot of parts where it was really making me kind of on edge.
Yeah.
And I was impressed by that. How about his fucking wife? From the very first scene she was in, it was like, this bitch is crazy.
Well, she's forcing like perfection and like, no, this, we're like what's on TV and there's no problems and
right,
we're this perfect family, but it's like the opposite. And that's so many people in the world.
Yeah.
Like people that try to force like, this is our perfect life, are always the most fucked up. Yeah. And people that like can embrace it like, oh, we're kind of weird, you know, are like the least fucked up. It's kind
of
funny.
This movie is definitely an analogy for a lot of, like, for American life.
Yeah, that's, I think that was the whole point of the movie, just like kind of the shell that we all kind of live in versus what's actually going on inside.
And Kevin Spacey was the one who was like trying to actually get out of it.
Right. He finally kind of like woke up out of the Matrix type of thing. Yeah.
You know, for me, it's weird because on one part of it, he's like super into this high school girl and it's creepy and it's wrong. At the same part, he's kind of
apparently she
in
was
the same 18. Movie.
She was 18, so it's
well,
okay.
I know that's not okay. It's your daughter's friend. It's still weird.
It is weird. But in the law's eyes, it's legal.
I'm not talking about the laws. Holy shit.
I'm just trying to give myself some room. So if that ever happens to me in the future, I'm
not... don't worry about it.
Oh boy.
I hope my wife doesn't hear this.
But it's like at one point, some part of it, you go like, this guy's a piece of shit. And then some parts it's like, he's kind of your hero. It's like
you totally like relate with him on most things,
and you root for him
but then
at the beginning it was like he's a piece of shit, but he he really did start.
He was a shinier turd.
Yeah, he started growing. Like, as he started growing and started really taking initiative in his own life, I was...
Yeah.
He really did turn into the best character in that movie, hands down.
Yeah, no, it's neat to see, like, yeah, it's like he was finally happy.
Yeah.
For the first time since he was a kid.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, the whole deal with that, too, is, you know, his character's 35, the kid's 16, so what, they would have to have been 16, 17 when they had her, so he probably lost a lot of his youth because of that, and so he's kind of trying to recapture that when he meets, you know, he's hanging out with another 16, 17-year-old.
18-year-old guy.
Okay, yeah, and he, you know, becomes his hero.
Yeah.
So I think that was his deal, was just kind of trying to recapture his youth.
Get back to where, yeah, he was when he was happy.
And, yeah, getting, like, his high school job back. And,
yeah, and getting his car he's always wanted. That's one of my favorite parts. He goes, "The car I've always wanted, now it's mine.
Don't you think we should have talked about that? You never drove it."
Yeah, what do you care? Yeah, no, that was awesome. And then I was so hopeful for, like, them to kind of, like, reconnect when they had that RC car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she was like, "You're going to get beer on the couch." And he's like, "It's just a couch." And it's like, he's pissed.
I was feeling good about the moment until,
because I was like, "Oh, good, maybe she'll loosen up." But,
yeah, no, she's still kind of stuck in her way.
She was so crazy. "I will not be a victim."
Yeah.
Oh, or my God.
When she doesn't get the sale and she just freaks out.
She starts hitting herself.
She was great, like, literally certifiable.
She does an amazing job. That is some of the best acting I've ever seen, is that scene.
Yep.
Like, when she's just, like, slapping herself, and she's like, "You baby."
That was all one take.
It's like, holy shit, it's so good.
The entire thing was one take, too. Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite scenes of all time.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Ugh. It was good, and
it
was
makes
so,
you feel weird.
Like, I got the feeling,
like, you're not, like, supposed to be there in that moment.
That's what I'm. Yeah, well, like, that's what I was just gonna say. It's like, I got that same kind of feeling as when, like you're at your friend's house, and your friend and your friend and his mom start fighting, and you're just kind of like,
yeah,
like, you just get that really awkward feeling. That's what I got during that scene. It was just kind of like, oh man,
yeah, like, this is not my place. This is not for me to see.
Is it okay if I go eat dinner in my room?
Yeah. In your room?
Yeah.
Just walk your plate to your house.
Oh, man. But I didn't have any notes prepared, but I really liked this movie.
Yeah. I like how he's just such a smart ass to his boss.
Yeah.
For you, Brad, I've got 5.
Yeah. It's like,
what an asshole.
There's a scene I didn't catch when I first saw it, but I was looking up, like, other people's interpretations of the movie, and there's a scene where he's looking at a computer screen, and there's all these, like, just columns of words on his computer, and his reflection showing in, so it looks kind of like a prison cell. And that's kind of, like, the whole theme is that he's trapped in this prison.
Oh, wow.
And every time they show a shot of him looking outside from inside his house, the windows are just set up like bars.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense. I never put that together.
Put together either.
I'm actually really terrible at interpreting things like that, so I kind of look for help. Just,
you know, I hated doing
that.
I
know there's something there.
Yeah, they're like, "What's the symbolism in this book?" And it's like, you're lucky I read the fucking book.
And majority of the time, it's for your interpretation. No one's.
Yeah, my interpretation this movie's about Godzilla.
I took a cinematography class when I went to college and stuff, and I was really into that, but I've gotten so lazy.
I enjoy that stuff. It's just I'm so slow that I can't catch it. And it kind of pisses me off. And I realize it when someone
and
else points it.
And it's not the same when, like, somebody else points it out. Then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, but I didn't do that.
But for me, like, I always know there's something there, but I can never put my thumb on it.
Yeah.
Same thing with the red in this movie. I'm not really sure what that is, but it's everywhere.
Yeah.
The flowers.
The blood. The door. The car. The other car.
I think it was just symbolizing freedom, really.
To me, it was more like passion or lust. Like, everything that he wanted was kind of what was red.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, yeah.
I saw someone else think it was, like, the life force or something, or blah, blah, blah. But that didn't really make sense to me, because it was in his blood at the end. And
but in that paper bag, and all the leaves that it was floating over were all red.
All
and
the
bricks
are red.
And the bricks were super red and stuff.
And the bricks are red. And the car is red.
Just rhyming red with red.
Yeah. That's how songwriting works, right?
Yes, sure. If you're Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, please don't shoot me.
Sean, I do songs good. Sean?
Yeah. He's going to hire you as his personal songwriter.
Man, this guy's got rhymes. He's rhyming everything.
Chong writer. Like
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Da, 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 da. That's a whole song. That's all. That's the only line in the song.
I know. I kept going like, oh, it's like he's going to like go into a rap right now. Like MC Chris this right now.
He did that on purpose. He did that on purpose. He's like, Boba Fett. You're like just sitting there, Sean. Fuck you for making that song. The
he
whole
straightens
time,
his jacket.
Yeah, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, it's going to start. It's going to start. Oh, it's over.
It's like 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to start.
Thank you for making that video, Sean. That's the ultimate troll.
So did anybody have a favorite scene? No, well, no. Let's do favorite line. You want to do favorite line first?
I had one. But...
And then we'll take a break because I have... an addiction.
When I had two favorite lines, one just because it's funny, it was the "fuck me, your majesty" when they're banging in the hotel.
Oh god, yeah.
But my absolute favorite line is when he's hanging out with the kid. What's the guy's
Ricky
name?
Ricky Fitz.
Yeah, Ricky Fitz. And they're hanging outside that party, smoking weed, and he's, you know, learning that, you know, Ricky Fitz doesn't care, you know, he'll do what he wants, and mm-hmm. he just turns to him and is like, I think you just became my personal hero.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when he snaps, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when he just goes like, oh, shit, like...
You can do that? You can
just not give a fuck? Yeah. Like, what about this? What about this? And what about that? And it's like...
And it's kind of sad that Ricky's dad learned that lesson from... Kevin Spacey, and Kevin Spacey learned it from Ricky, and when, you know, they could have just bonded or something.
Yeah.
Also, 10,000 Babies. That was pretty funny.
You took mine, so I'm going to find a new one.
I'm looking, too, because, you know what? Mine was the whole pass the asparagus thing.
That, when he throws the plate into the wall, that was ad-libbed. He was originally supposed to just throw it on the ground, so the reactions of the two girls was real. They
were freaked out. Yeah.
Oh, he really came off like.
Yeah.
I just love that your father and I were just discussing his day at work. Why don't you tell our daughter about it, honey? And they're all like super happy. Janie, today I quit my job, and then I told my boss to go fuck himself. And then I blackmailed him for almost $60,000. Pass the asparagus. I just love how like happy they are. Yeah. They're like super fighting. That scene though, like I've wanted to do that a couple of times. Like if me and Mariah were like fighting,
just put the asparagus right next to you next time.
Yeah, I know. That's what it was.
I want smelly pee.
I love asparagus, and it does make my pee smell.
You've got.
Have you ever had?
That's a genetic thing too. Some people don't get stinky pee.
Really? Have you ever had stinky asparagus pee when you haven't eaten asparagus?
No.
Probably get checked.
I like had that one time. I was like,
if I drink coffee, I get coffee pee.
Yeah,
I just pee a lot when I drink coffee.
And vitamin pee, I get vitamin pee a lot.
Yes. Oh yeah.
You almost made me spit.
It's like
cake.
It's like
God
it's like
damn it,
gold.
Yeah.
I guess a kind of important line in the movie that I like is, "You don't get to tell me what to do ever again."
That was awesome. Yeah,
that was really good.
And that scene.
She's like, she doesn't know what the fuck to say. She's just like, oh shit.
That's my favorite scene where he's like, hi, Janie, or what's his wife's name? I don't remember, but, or Janine. Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, I'm Lester. You probably will remember me this time or something like that.
That's right. When they're in the drive-thru.
That was my favorite scene. That was just like, oh man.
But
Carolyn. Carolyn.
But
my real favorite line is "fuck me, your majesty." That is the best. It's like I don't know
about you're sleeping with royalty.
Yeah, that's right. You're sleeping with the king.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. This movie just to me is just powerful. It's just like
very.
I think it's weird. This is one that we're all going to agree on.
Yeah. What I guess I really like about it is it kind of. Maybe not in the same extreme as him, but like everybody can kind of relate to it, where like you get so worried about bills and whatever life's going on and like, you know, looking, making sure you keep up appearances and whatever, because
I mean, like, just getting caught up in life and not actually living is the whole thing.
And, I don't know, and then whenever he's, like, listening to, like, old classic rock, smoking weed, and working out, I'm like, I want to go out to the garage and work out and smoke weed right now so bad. Like, so, well, like, how, so appealing and just, like, sure you, enjoyable.
Make sure you have Jason lick the paper for you.
Yeah. That scene was so... I was watching that. I was like, oh! Like, it was so awkward.
No. No.
Yeah, oh, I know. No. Yeah.
Oh, what's going to happen?
I just imagine Cleveland going, no, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
How about just the way they showed how, like, he's smoking weed and starting to, like, do all this stuff to really relieve his stress, and then she does, you know, she starts the shooting sex. Guns and the sex and all that stuff. She's doing the exact same thing that he's doing, but she's condemning him for doing it.
Yeah.
That was, like, that was another thing where I was just like, you're such a fucking bitch! I was getting all mad at her through the whole movie.
Oh, yeah, she's a tremendous bitch.
So I beat Mariah.
What?
Oh. So he just took it out in her.
So I just beat her, yeah. Just threw a plate of asparagus at her. No, if I tried to beat Mariah, she would probably murder me. Yeah. Like, she would just literally murder me. Not like I would even try to beat Mariah.
I just imagine her becoming like Yoda and like...
just doing crazy little flips.
There was one time when we were in karate.
You had to look over your shoulder right now.
I'm just looking at you.
he literally looked no, over his shoulder.
I did. You'll probably hear it on the recording. I get quiet for a sec. No, there was this one time. It was awesome. Like when she did that, we had just started dating, and she did this thing, and I was like,
she stuck her finger in your butt.
Yes, it was awesome. No.
That's the
button. We were in karate, and this guy was, he just joined class, and he was like a wrestler, and karate and wrestling, not the same thing at all.
No.
And he's like, he was like, oh, I was all state champ, and blah, 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 blah. And so he thought he was all hot stuff, and so Mariah's dad, who was the instructor, he was like, all right, well, why don't you two spar? And Mariah was, hands down, the best fighter there. So the two of them get there, they start sparring. Mariah is obviously holding back, and this guy is just, like, trying to wail on her and stuff, and she's, like, blocking him and dodging him, but he keeps kicking her in the knee, and that was, like, one thing where it's, like, we had this agreement when we're sparring, we don't use pads and stuff, but we don't, like, kick in vital areas or places where you can really injure somebody. So he keeps kicking her in the knees, and of course she does this thing where she, like, goes with it so it doesn't hurt her, right. But she keeps going, stop, 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 while they're fighting, she keeps telling him, stop, stop. He doesn't do it. So I don't remember how it happened, but he's standing up and she's, you know, she's short. Listeners, my wife is very short. She like gets really close to him and like a freaking Rock'em Sock'em robot or something. She like unhinges her hip. Her whole body goes back and she stomps upward onto his jaw and he just goes and like got air and landed on the floor. It was like something out of Street Fighter. It was awesome. Nuts. K.O. And then you know what's funny is he never came. Yeah, he never came back after that either. I know it's a really, really long story, but that was awesome.
So we can kind of get back into the show here.
So we did favorite lines.
We did favorite lines.
Yeah, so favorite scene. Unless you guys would like to do a character or actor, I think right now is about the right time for a scene.
Yeah, let's do a scene first. I already sort of said mine before we took a break, but I could probably pull another one out of my ass. But somebody else go first.
Well, for me, since I'm the one who chose this movie, it's I know this is kind of like the easy way out kind of thing as far as choosing a favorite scene, but the scene where he's killed.
Damn it, that's the other one I was gonna say.
When he gets killed, it's I think what's amazing thing about this movie is it's tragic and you've learned to love this character, but you're not like that sad for him because he seems like he's okay with it.
Yeah.
And he does this whole thing, he explains everything that happened. You hear the gunshot from everybody's point of view.
Yeah.
All these different perspectives, you know, here's a boom, boom. And because the whole time you're going like,
who did it?
What was it? Yeah. Was it the boyfriend? Was it the wife?
Yeah.
You know,
and they build it up to be the wife because she's, you know, brandishing the gun
to
begin with.
And it's all these things. And it's like, you're almost not worried about who it was because like, you know, he was at peace because like he was happy. And
well, that
you know,
was part of it.
He's explaining it. And when they go down and they pan down to his face and he looks serene
on his face.
Like a grin almost.
Yeah. And I just think it's one of the most powerful, like, scenes in a movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Go on.
Matt's been trying to say something for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to let you say your piece. But yeah, that was a big part because he finally gets what he wants, you know, the entire time. The whole point why he was working out was to get the attention of this high school girl. Mm-hmm. And he finally gets there and then, you know, he realizes that's not what he wants at all.
Yeah.
And he goes to sit down and he looks at that picture of his family and how happy they were back then. And that's kind of, you know, he's just looking at that and that's what he truly wants again. That's, he wants that happiness.
And he still like loves his wife so much. Yeah. Like he looks at that photo and he's just like.
So he pushes away the thing that he thought that he wanted and starts just kind of focusing on true happiness, basically.
That scene made me so happy when he's just like, I can't do this.
Yeah. So he's looking at the picture and then, you know, he gets shot in the back of the head. And it sucks, but that's kind of, I think that's the way that most people want to go, is just kind of in a happy place.
Yeah.
Not knowing, and then it's over. Like, you're,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like when they show, like, the video of her on the roller coaster thing, and she looks super happy, and he just, like, makes him happy. And it's just like, she's made to be the villain, but she's, like, really what makes him happy.
Yeah.
And she got stuck in a place just like he got stuck in a place. Yeah. And so you kind of, like, don't even hate her anymore. Because it's like, no, I mean, she was in a rut, yeah, where everything was fake, but, like, everything was fake for him, too. And they both kind of, maybe she just needed more time to, like, get to that place.
I think she was getting there, too, towards the end.
Yeah.
Towards the end, when she kind of decided, oh, I'm not going to kill him, when she comes in the door, and then she sees that he is dead.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my God.
And just the whole drive down, and, you know, the her fake relationship kind of crumbled, and she's kind of realizing what she needs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was going to really go towards a really happy ending, but then it was a happy ending for him, though.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, brought up so many emotions within me, because, like I said, I'm sad that he's dead, but I'm happy that he was happy.
So one thing that dad, that military dad guy, like how he was so...
He does a great job in this movie.
Oh, really. My God, yeah.
He actually was having issues when he was filming. Like, he, just reading the script and getting into that character, he kind of, like, sat down with himself thinking, like, do I really want to become this guy for a while we're filming? Do I want to go into this dark place?
And his wife, his poor wife.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. I like the actress, too, but I felt bad for the character.
Yeah.
Well, but when he was getting ready for that role... He was thinking about just, you know, not doing it at all. And he sat down with his actual wife in real life. And she said, you know, because of how you feel about this character and you don't really want to do it, that's how you know you should do it. So she kind of pushed him into it.
Oh, that's a really neat way for her to put it. In the scene that I brought up, I want to say before we got too far off subject, was when she goes to the closet and she, like, grabs all the clothes and just falls to the floor. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
That kind of brought up something with me, too, because, yeah, she's kind of grasping onto what he was with all his clothes, and, you know, these are objects that don't belong to anyone anymore, because he's gone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of all that she has left of him.
And it's like, well, and it kind of shows you, like, kind of taking him for granted, you know, and it's like, now her world's torn apart. You know, she's not with the Peter Gallagher's character anymore, because he's like...
Well, oh, you mean Eyebrows?
Eyebrows. And
she's not with Eyebrows anymore.
Yeah, and so, like, yeah, she, you know, everything's gone, and she, I don't know. It makes me feel so sad every time I fucking watch that part.
Yeah,
she does such a good job in that movie.
She did. But do you think that military dad guy, like, Mariah brought up a thought. Hold on, I gotta get closer to my mic here.
Women can't think.
Oh, God.
It's illegal.
We're going to go there, huh? After we watched the movie, she goes, do you think that the military guy really was gay, and because he was so, like, trying to stifle it, that he killed him because he knew he was gay? Like, you know how he comes onto him in the garage, and then he leaves, and then comes back and shoots him in the head? Do you think that's why he shot him? Is because... He's like, oh, he knows I'm gay now.
No, I think it was just... His character was what Kevin Spacey's character would have been if he didn't kind of just do what he wanted to do. Not the gay part, but just kind of leading that whole life and kind of forcing yourself to believe in one thing when it's not actually what you believe in. So just that he can't be free was why he kind of killed him, I guess.
Yeah, I think Matt's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's not that he was gay. It was that he forced himself to be against gay people when in actuality, like, he wasn't
Yeah.
He wasn't against that. Right. It's just with his upbringing, he thought supposed to be against it, and so he forced himself to be against it. And so when now he's super confused, and he's like, well, maybe I'm not against this. Maybe since I'm not against this, I'm gay, maybe.
That makes sense. Yeah.
His life was pretty much ruined from there because he ruined it himself. But he just kind of...
Yeah, I think if in his mind, if he didn't think something was wrong with it, that he must be gay himself. And then, not that he actually was, but he thought that's what you must be. I don't know, because if you know very many gay people, I mean, they don't have that kind of, personality. That's more of just someone that's just kind of messed up in the head a little
bit.
That guy was fucking crazy. He was nuts.
He was crazy, but I also, at parts, felt for him. He absolutely loved his son, but he just... His ideals were just so warped that he couldn't really see past them. And
yeah, he didn't know how to be like a nurturing father. So he did the complete opposite and was just doing the whole military thing. Like he was just being a drill sergeant.
Well, because that's the nurturing and bringing you up to be right. That's how you did it.
Right.
Yeah. Quote unquote right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's these things kind of skew it to where if you are a strict military person, it kind of takes a... brings a negativity to that where I think it's anything but negative.
Well, and
but there are those characters within that. You know, it's like where everybody thinks, I think a lot of young people today think that anybody who is a Republican is that guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're fucking not.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was trying to make a joke there, but...
I know.
Yeah. But, and I know people who are really... who are military people and they're really into what they do, but they're not like that. And it's just, this guy just had some problems. Yeah. He must have had some daddy issues too. And there must have been a lot of really weird things with his upbringing that made him come to this point.
Well, just the time that he came, where he was alive, it was bad back then.
Well, I know a lot of people who grew up in that time in that same sort of circumstance, and they went the complete opposite and were like, I'm not gonna grow up in that, or I don't want my kids to grow up in that. My dad grew up super regimented, and to an extent I was I couldn't watch movies or anything like that, but that was more my mom. My dad would let me do whatever I want.
Well, more particularly, his true feelings with being gay, he came from a time where that was wrong.
A sin.
And so that's kind of why he was battling it back. It's not something that I am. It's something that I became, and I got to fight it type of thing. And pray the gay away type thing. And,
yeah.
in a fairly short amount of time. I remember me and my cousins, if we were arguing, we call each other fags. Me and my buddies, we call each other fags. And it's weird because now it's you hear somebody say it and it sounds so awful. Hey, dude, that's so hateful. But this is a terrible thing. But we weren't talking about them being homosexual.
Yeah.
But we were meaning it as derogatory.
Yeah.
In a very short period of time, because, say that was in the 90s, right? And that's how we would talk shit to each other, to call them gay, basically. Where now if somebody, if you call them a fag, it's like, hey, what the fuck? Don't be such an asshole.
I think, though, too, it's sort of the same thing as saying cunt.
That's different.
I have a couple gay
friends. I know,
but cunt,
someone doesn't like... identify as a cunt.
Yeah, that's true. But I have a couple super gay friends.
I have a couple of cunt friends
who are
they're super, so they're not just gay.
No, they're fighting they're crime gay. With their gay.
No, they're just
in the name of justice.
Yeah. Anyway, they're I'll say something and they'll be like, "You're such a
glitter,
fag."
Glitter.
They'll call me a fag and stuff. Yeah. It's just
that's their word.
Okay, so it's just saying, "Never mind, I'm not going to say that." it's saying beep.
But yeah, same thing with me. Growing up in the 90s, you're gay or you're fag. I never really said fag because that to me sounded like a harsh word.
Yeah, I never said it.
But every time,
I'm a bad guy now.
Well, no, because every time
you're just a bro. It's fine.
You know better. But when I did say stuff like that, I never really meant it as anything to do with gay people at all.
It was just
a strong word and
yeah, but it kind of
if I call someone a motherfucker, I don't mean they actually fuck their mother.
Yeah, No,
you didn't?
Nope.
Oh, I always did.
I just felt anger and didn't know how to say it otherwise.
That's a really good point, but it just kind of, I don't know, it's when you say something like that, and then you're like, no, I'm not talking about gay people, I'm talking about, like, I'm saying he's a douche. And it's like, wait, what? Like, that now you just made it worse. Like,
a lot of gay people I know are douches, though, so. I'm kidding, gay people.
I think the best reference for that topic, though, is, the South Park episode where, you know.
Yeah, oh, the Harley episode.
Yeah, I didn't mean gay fag. I meant fag.
Yeah, he's like, wait, what if he goes, what do you mean by fag? And he's like,
I'm gay,
like,
boys. Am I a fag? No.
Well, because he's like, those Harley artists. What if they ride a Harley and they're gay? He's like, well, it's a gay fag.
So what if someone starts up a Harley at 3 a.m. right outside your house? What would you yell out the window? Fag it! This makes ridiculous good sense to me right now.
You know what? That's
I think that's a good episode because it also goes through the history of the word, which is true. Like,
yes. Fag
meant something totally different. Like, cigarette. 100 years ago, even before then, it was like literally a bundle of sticks was called a fag.
Oh yeah.
And then in Britain, like, a fag still is called a cigarette, or a cigarette's called a fag over there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's weird how words can have so much power and they're just like nothing but
grunts. You know. Well, have you ever heard that George Carlin thing about, like, post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we used to call it shell shock. And then, you know, he goes, he's like, oh, but then now that sounds bad, so we're going to call it. And he's like, we're talking about how we take these perfectly descriptive words and then just, like, everyone gets offended. Right. So we just have to keep changing the word until that one gets offensive. And
we're all a bunch of pussies.
My triggers!
Tumblr just... I hope Tumblr posts this episode a lot, just so we could get the attention. But I also want to make them so mad.
Tumblr could post any of our episodes, I think.
We should make a Tumblr.
Huh?
We should make a Tumblr.
We should.
You should make a Tumblr.
No, you should. I've never been on Tumblr before.
What is a Tumblr?
I have no idea.
It's like a Twitter, but more characters, I think.
Okay.
You do it, Matt. Why do I have to do everything?
Because I believe in you.
Has everybody done
I'm going to be doing the D&D podcast.
Has everybody done their...
I didn't do a scene.
I don't think either of you guys have, right?
Jason did.
I'm going to leave it at that scene where he dies. Where,
damn it. I want to leave it at that scene, too. It's
such
a
good scene. One of my favorite things, like you're talking about, with showing it from every point of view and showing how this guy's life and this guy making his changes to his life has impacted these other people's lives. One of my favorite things when I kind of want to talk about that scene where he finally is there with the blonde chick. I don't remember her name, but they're about to have sex. And then she says, it's my first time. And this was right after they told her that she was ugly and so basic and whatever they said. So ordinary.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, she doesn't feel special at all. And this guy is making her feel super special. And then he very respectfully is like, we can't do this. And it makes her feel so good about herself. She does feel special right there.
Like, she got rejected and felt better about herself.
Exactly. And that scene, like, that, I was sitting there smiling when they're sitting there in the kitchen. And she's got the blanket on and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's making her food. And I was just like, I feel good about this. This is really good.
Yeah, it was like, oh, because if he had done it, like, it would have been such an ugly taste in your mouth.
It would have ruined that character, too. But like, this character is building up to become something more than what he was.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And, yeah, and I think he achieved it.
And through his growth, though, like, he really impacted all these other people's lives, and you can really see that in that scene. That scene kind of just brings everything together.
Damn, I think we're all going to vote for the same scene, though, because, that's going to be mine, and my other...
It's not like a competition, man.
I want to do better than you.
Well, you know what? But I think that's for a movie that has so many great scenes.
Yeah.
And just so much that you love about it. When you have three people, that just shows you how powerful that scene
was. And for me too, the big part too was like it was the perfect ending. And that's my trouble with a lot of movies. It's like they don't. Sometimes I feel like they don't know how to end it.
They ended this movie perfectly.
Yeah, and that's
tragically and perfectly, where you didn't feel ugly about it. You felt happy.
You felt happy and sad.
Yeah.
And that's what I got from that scene. And like, even with
I still had to watch New Girl after this. I was just like, I need to watch something that's just totally
my life just changed. I don't know for what reason, but it's changed.
Yeah.
Well,
even with watching like The Revenant today, like I don't think they ended that movie as well as they should have. And there's tons of movies that just
ending a movie is tough. Yeah. That's a really hard. I mean, just imagine trying to write the end of. I think that's the hardest part of a movie.
It's because you want to leave it with with the movie resonating with the audience, and I think that's what this one did.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of them just totally just missed that, and you're like, okay, happy ending, that sunset. Well,
had he had sex with the girl, you know, and then he got killed, like you'd still feel ugly about it. It wouldn't have ended right.
Yeah.
It's just when it can end tragically and wonderfully at the same time. That's pretty rare. You know, it's like with Great Gatsby. Like, the ending sucks, because, like, okay, I'm not going to say.
Well, I'm not going to watch it.
Okay.
I read the book. I have no interest.
Well, you know he dies at the end. Yeah. And so it sucks.
Spoiler alert.
And there's not, like, a redeeming aspect of him dying.
I think that's what made this one so great, was there was redemption.
Yeah. And so, like, that's the bummer with, like, other movies. It's, like, because they want you to have this, like, heartbreak at the end, because it makes you remember it. But it doesn't keep you coming back to watch it again,
right?
Because like this one, it's like I feel good about it. Like
it gave me peace.
Yeah, because
peas.
Yeah,
gave you peas
and carrots.
I just totally derailed that. Whoops.
You
want to have a seat, babe?
Shit down.
Shit down. Hey, you want to go? You want to go?
That's what I said.
You want to go sit on the mic?
She's out with her friends.
She can't be out with her.
Hold on.
We're recording tonight.
It's true.
These are her friends.
This is your
Hold on. I'm stopping.
That's why she's... I can't remember like how the text started, but okay, anyway, they're like laughing. And I was like, you know, what's funny? Am I funny like a clown? She's like, it's funny because I tricked you into living with me. And I was like, I'm not going to live with you. You're going to live with me.
Yeah, she's
that's right. Lay down the law.
With getting out of the shower and finding a wet towel instead of a dry one.
One time.
All the times. Since you've been taking a shower in the guest bathroom, my towel has been soaked because you're huge and my towel is made for me.
Divorce.
You know, that's what that's I've been leaving hand towels in the bathroom because I hate fucking like, I'll wash my hands and then there's no hand towel.
Sit down over there.
So I keep leaving one in the same spot and then every time I go to the bathroom, it's fucking gone. And I'm like,
I have issues.
Where the fuck did that go?
I have issues with just like hand towels in general. Like I can't use it if I know someone else used it. Cause I'm like,
hand towels?
Yeah.
Hentai towels?
Hmm.
Sorry.
That was the worst.
Yeah, that was a terrible view. Before we go into favorite character, actor, or whatever, is it a movie you guys would watch again?
I probably would, only because, like I said earlier, there's a lot of stuff in there that I know was there, but I didn't understand yet.
Yeah.
So I think I would go back to try to get a better look at it.
I would watch it again, definitely.
Yeah.
It's going to be something I got to like really get myself into the mindset of.
Yeah. I've probably watched it 15 times.
It's kind of heavy.
Hey, I imagine. Like, that's probably a realistic amount.
Hold on, get them talking to the mic.
I don't like the mic.
Talking to the mic.
Yeah, no, I don't want to.
Talking to the mic.
No.
Get the mic close to your mouth.
Your face is the worst.
At being the best. Wait, that's still bad.
That's why he's trying to cover it up.
Yeah, as much hair. All the hair, come to my face. Protect the people.
So, Mariah's here. Very special guest.
Very special.
So
don't talk about her disabilities, guys.
She just got here, so she hasn't heard any of the conversation. I know you just watched this movie last night?
Last night.
Yeah.
Last night. Give us your thoughts, your general overview of, you know, what you thought of the movie.
It was an interesting movie.
She didn't see any of the lighthearted funny stuff.
Oh, so you didn't see the whole thing.
Whenever the dad was threatening his boss for money.
Oh, that's pretty early on.
Yeah,
that's one of the best scenes, I think, too.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, yeah.
I wish I had those balls.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It was a good... I actually enjoyed it. It was kind of weird. I got a little weirded out whenever the dad was like, you know, making out with the 16-year-old girl or whatever old she was.
She was 18, we discovered.
But also, the daughter was like 17 in real life. And we saw her boobs.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw two sets of boobs.
Yes.
One big boobs and then tiny boobs.
Surprisingly big boobs.
Surprisingly a large areola.
I can't think of anything but Hocus Pocus.
But still okay.
And I just go, no, you're like, no. You're not supposed to.
She's in Monkey Trouble.
I never saw Monkey Trouble. Yeah. But yeah, it's like I always think of Hocus Pocus and
that's weird.
That's what I think of too. But like I said earlier, you know, she's in Hocus Pocus talking about the bazongas or whatever.
Yeah, bazongas.
And then she gets her own bazongas.
You know, it's really a happy ending. With Mariah here, since she's our female part of this conversation.
Put your vagina to the mic and let it speak.
Yes. What does your vagina say?
That was Mariah.
I just love that my wife did that right now. I'm so proud.
We were talking about it earlier.
I like how she paused though for like a split second. Like, what does the vagina make?
She had to think about it. Yeah. Okay, so what do you think about this? We talked about this really in the beginning of it. In the movie, she talks about getting a boob job. You know, when she's online, she's looking up.
See, I didn't see the online part. That's what I meant.
Yeah, she's looking online and like she's really thinking about it. But then when the scene finally comes where you see her boobs, it was like, well, what the fuck were you gonna do to them?
See, that's what I thought they were alluding to. Like, I didn't I didn't see that she was looking online for boob jobs.
She talked about wanting to get a boob job too.
Yeah, that's the part that I got. Because she said that you know, saving up this money to get a boob job. And then she kind of like gestures to them right after we already saw them, and we know they're pretty big already. I obviously don't need to buy a boob job anymore.
Yeah, so the movie doesn't go on long enough, like I said, for like all
more
of a sudden
17-year-old boobs. That's what we need.
She has boobs. So maybe from a woman's perspective, like, did you understand? Did that seem confusing? Like, why was she looking? Like, why was she saving up her money for this?
I don't when, think like, she Mariah's, obviously didn't hold need it. On. I don't think Mariah's opinion is going to be the average girl's opinion, though.
Well, because... I know, but it's still a female's opinion.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because Jason says, "Don't speak."
You're more of a dude.
That's what Jason. a real. That's what Jason closes his eyes and thinks of. At least I'm banging a dude. I'm banging a dude.
A real pretty dude.
High five me, bro. So. High five me, bro.
A dude with a really nice vagina.
Oh my god.
We're editing that out.
She's allowed you.
Bro job.
She's allowed you to have sex with her twice. I can't believe it.
I know.
Me neither. She probably wasn't
two
conscious.
On record. I roofied her. Two sex times.
He's like, hey.
No. Oh god. No. I'm Bill Cosby.
That's not.
I
messed up
that.
My references there.
Well, Bill Cosby was the guy who the voiced guy.
Yeah.
So it works.
Because I missed the part of the movie where she was looking online. I didn't know she did that. I heard the one comment that she said she was saving her money
for a boob job.
For a boob job, yeah. But do you know? Did she want bigger boobs, or do you think she wanted a breast reduction?
Us as guys, we didn't possibly think about the idea of a breast reduction.
That's the worst thing.
Who would want smaller boobs?
Kind of sucks sometimes. I'm just saying.
No. I don't believe at all.
Okay.
No.
I disagree. It doesn't suck.
But knowing
it motorboats sometimes, but doesn't suck.
Yeah,
no, it sucks sometimes. I guess technically,
I think that knowing that she was actually researching it before, I imagine that she wanted a bigger set of boobs because, in comparison to her friend, she did feel like she wasn't, you know, the perfect sexy one. Right? Yeah, the sexy one, the perfect 10. So she kind of wanted to become that, and it's kind of fitting for.
But her friend had tiny boobies.
Right.
She was just all butt. That's all it was.
She did, but.
I didn't even notice that.
Of course, she wanted, you know, the same attention, and that's the first thing that came to her head was, you know, bigger boobs. And I think that's kind of fitting for this movie because everyone wanted something that they really didn't want.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
Or need, at least.
Well, you know, and it's like, kind of an interesting thing about it is where her friend, I don't know, she was kind of one of those girls where it's like, yeah, you can see why she would get attention, but like, you know, it's not like she was really super sexy or anything. She just kind of played the part of
it. She was slutty, or she acted slutty.
She tried to act slutty.
And got attention
because
of that.
Yeah, she was really insecure Majorly. It was really what it was. Where, like, I've known people that, like, come off as really cocky or whatever, and it's like, and then you get to know them, and it's like, oh, this person's fucking insecure.
So,
like, super
insecure. So you're talking about me right now.
Most people that are really, really cocky are super insecure.
Yeah. And I kind of noticed that, like, as I...
Thanks, guys, for talking about me.
No, they're talking about my insecurities about my giant cock. I'm very uncomfortable with it.
No, because like I can be insecure.
Looking for
myself.
Penis reduction surgery.
It's but this big, guys.
It's huge.
It's literally.
She was
5.
Holding
5
her hands all the way apart as wide as she can.
No, that's not. What
no, it it's not. That's the opposite of what she was doing. But yeah, it just people really try to make up for their insecurities like with their personalities, and once you get to know them, it's apparent. And like with that girl. It was like, she was like, oh, yeah, I fucked that guy and blah, blah, blah. And then she finally gets to this point to where she's about to have sex with somebody for the first time. And she looks so vulnerable. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's so sad. Like,
I am so happy he didn't have sex with her.
Oh, well, we just discussed that. Yeah.
I was like.
I was talking about. Oh, go on. I don't want to.
No. I was just like, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Please don't.
Okay. Yeah.
It was very oddly. Endearing how like he took care of her after that. It was just so it made me so happy.
That's what we were saying earlier was you know he finally gets the thing that he wants the most but then realizes that's not actually what he wants, and that's when he sat down and looked at the picture and saw that's what he wanted the most was the happiness he had with his family. I think with the girl she was masking her insecurities with trying to become something that she wasn't again and just totally lying about nailing every dude or whatever. And again, that fits into the theme of the movie, where really only Ricky Fitz was the only true person that was who he was, unless he was around his dad. Then he totally played a character, but it was an obvious character, because we know who he is.
Yeah. She, I've been battling this forever.
Hold on.
But with that character, there's just so many parts that, like, I mean, there's just times where, like, a movie, like, everything just works out right, and like where you go, oh, like I'm so glad he didn't have sex with her, and like I'm so like imagine how much different it'd be if she hadn't said this is my first time.
Yeah,
that is. That I mean, that totally changes it.
It does.
If you thought that she had been with all the dudes she said she'd been with, it wouldn't have been nearly as impactful.
Yeah, because you're
taking, it was like
you're
the taking, perfect storm. It just worked out well.
Because I'm sure that's kind of what the character realized was, you're practically taking someone's innocence and she's so young and all that stuff. And she's not who you thought she was.
Where, where if like, oh, if she got down with guys all the time, like older guys all the time, like it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. And I'm not like taking anything from her. It's like, Jesus. It's not a big deal. But then when she goes, it's my first time, and he's like, oh shit.
And it becomes like a milestone for her. Like this is going to be her first time. This is going to be something that's ingrained with her for the rest of her life. So that's, do you want to be part of that or do you not? And, he realized, I'm a 35-year-old. No, I don't want to be that.
So do we want to get into
favorite characters?
Yeah, best characters or...
Jason's going to go with the manager at the Taco Hut. Or
God damn it.
He liked those drawn-on eyebrows.
Jason's going to go with the boss of Ricky Fitz at the party.
No. My favorite character.
The bag floating in the wind. That was a terrible scene. I hated that scene. Like, I didn't.
Yeah, that was awful. That was stupid.
It wasn't beautiful. It was a piece of trash. I see it all the time.
My favorite character
was... That's just a guy that smokes so much weed.
You know what? That's what inspired the entire script was the...
The weed?
No, the...
The weed?
Yeah. It was mainly fueled by weed, but the writer actually just saw a bag floating in the wind, and he's like, I'm going to make a
Where's
movie
my notebook?
Out of this.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That makes me feel a little bit better about the scene. Because otherwise it's like, it's kind of dumb. But it's like, if that inspired that movie, then that means something.
Good came from it, but it was, I needed.
Yeah.
Which guy was it?
The wife was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts. How about...
Fuck me, your majesty!
How about Ricky's mom?
Oh.
Yeah, we talked about her.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about it. It's so sad.
Yeah.
All right, so my favorite character was the drive-thru girl.
Damn it. I knew I missed something.
She was awesome. Welcome to Smiley's.
She was the manager.
Yeah, she was the
drive-through, like supervisor or something.
Drive-through.
Well, when Carolyn goes, this is none of your business, and he goes, actually, she is the she's the shift manager right now. So this you are kind of on her turf.
Yeah. She just like kind of like smirks at her and then walks away.
I just love how she's just like, welcome to Smiley's. Yeah. What can I make for you today?
Fun fact, that's actually a Carl's Jr.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Fucking leave it up to Matt.
Wee!
IMDb, wee!
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I found it. That gif that you sent everybody about the chicken wings. What the fuck?
Yeah, it was a Family Guy thing.
Was
where
it meant for black guys?
Where it's whoa, just, it's
wow, my wife is even more racist than me.
She said black eyes.
I said I did.
Yeah, black eyes. You're so racist,
like
Jason.
Like the peas.
No,
but to describe to the listeners, it's a scene where it looks like one of the fantasies that he's having about what's her
cheerleader.
Name?
The cheerleader.
What's her name?
The blonde chick.
Oh, whatever.
Where she's opening
her sweater. And instead of the roses coming out, it's chicken wings, and it's for
Peter Griffin. Peter. And he's like,
ha 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 ha. Character's name is Angela Hayes, which also is kind of like a nod to the story Lolita, because the author's name was Hayes or something. That's in the back of my head for some reason.
Fun fact.
Wasn't that fun? I just had to like throw it up out of my brain, though.
Does anybody really care about that?
Some people do.
Bob,
why are you still here?
Favorite character?
Oh,
I don't know.
Annette Bening as Carolyn.
Oh God, she did a really good job.
She is amazing. It's, you know what? It's the two scenes is when she's pissed about not making the sale in the house, and she starts hitting herself. That, and then when she's grabbing the clothes out of the closet after he dies, and those are. I mean, Kevin Spacey is amazing in this movie, but. She's got a few. He's pretty monotone and kind of like. I mean, he plays it like how this character should be played, but she has a few that are just like, ooh, not everybody can pull that off.
Yeah.
So I'd say she's the.
You're such a baby.
Best, yeah. She's the best actor in this whole.
Actress, I think they prefer to
actor
call.
Or actress in this whole movie. But. That being said, that is a very tough decision because there are so many great characters. There's the military dad. Ricky Fitz is a pretty cool character.
He's on American Horror Story.
Yes.
Ricky Fitz.
Okay, how about the Sancho's eyebrows were crazy?
Yeah. He reminds me of the captain from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Always looks like he's going to murder you, but he's always smiling. I think I have two favorite characters, and it's gonna be Jim and Jim.
Oh, yeah. Nice!
Only because I imagine that they met each other at a gym.
Jim and Jim met at the gym.
I like when he goes, "What's your business?"
Yeah,
You said your partners. What's your business? And he said, "What are you selling?"
Yeah.
So you said your partners, and he's like, "Oh, well, I'm this." And he's, "I see." And he's like,
"Yeah,
what a dick." You knew exactly what they meant.
Yep. Just being an a-hole.
I just don't like it because I was told not to like it.
Yeah.
But I actually like it.
A lot.
Oh, here. Maria, since you're here.
Maria!
That's racist.
She's Mexican. It's fine.
So do you think the military dad was gay? I know you had this conversation with Jason, but just to get your point of view on it.
Yeah, I think he was gay. And I think he killed Kevin Spacey because he knew he was gay. And he didn't want anybody else to know.
See, that's where I disagree. Like, I do believe that the dad, or, yeah, the military dad was gay, but I don't think he killed him because Kevin Spacey knew that he was
wait,
gay.
Wait, you think the military dad is gay?
I think he's gay.
Oh, I didn't get that from our earlier conversation.
Yeah, so I think he's gay, but I don't think that's the reason why he killed Kevin Spacey.
I think he killed, well, because he's a military guy, and the only way that he could think of, because nobody knew he was gay, right? Nobody.
Right.
He was, like, a homophobe or whatever. And so he came and he kissed Kevin Spacey, and it's like that's like information that he doesn't want to get out anywhere. So he's killed him.
Yeah, I get that.
Or he killed him because he rejected him.
No, I think it was just like earlier I said that he killed him because Kevin Spacey...
He represented everything that he couldn't be.
Right. That was pretty much it. Because Kevin Spacey like was so free at the end.
Right.
And, you know, just kind of became what he wanted to be. And that's something that he can't ever obtain because he's just so far into, you know, his closeted life.
I don't think he's gay. I think he killed him because he didn't want him to say, this guy came on me because he's so ashamed of it.
Right.
I think he realized that he could love somebody that was gay when he thought his son was gay. And it made him so afraid that he thought, since I don't hate someone that's gay, I must be gay.
Right.
Is how I interpret it.
Which, that would make a lot of sense.
Did I say that coherently? Because yes, it sounds fucked up even in my head.
No, I think I got what you said.
That whole sentiment because he was gay, he was gay.
Also, another thing that kind of floats in the back of my head is like maybe he just killed him because like, hey, that guy probably made my son suck his penis.
Yeah,
that's not cool.
No, yeah, that's maybe a possibility too. But I'm thinking.
That
I'm
scene
thinking,
was so awkward.
Yeah, I don't think he was gay. I just think he just was so confused that he about his son and everything.
That would have been so funny in that scene if he's like, hey, could you shake up this bottle of soda water? And so he's just all in the window. That would have been awful.
Or like if something was like stuck in the ground. Shake up this bottle. Can you just like pull this thing out of the ground and he just like.
Obviously the dad didn't control his anger very well.
Oh, yeah.
So if he was mad about this grown man, somebody who's 25 years older than his son, is making him give him a blowjob, that he'd be really mad and beat the shit out of him, right? Right. I mean, don't you think
that's
he
what
would
I
do
expected
that?
when he was going to walk over,
right?
But he kind of exposed.
But I think that's why I think he was gay because if
well, yeah, I agree that
if
I
he
think
wasn't
that he was gay
and he was really pissed that this guy was making him do stuff or whatever, and he would just kill them then.
I think it's weird that this is the interpretation that's up in the air between all of us.
Out of the whole, I think
Jason, do you think he was gay or no?
Because
I'm the only person that doesn't think he was gay.
But there's two parts though. There's you know, is he gay and did he kill him because Kevin Spacey thinks he's gay?
I like your point about what you were saying a little bit more than just like, oh, he knows I'm gay. I'm going to kill him now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that makes sense and that's enough motive for murder because he did show that even though he wasn't really irrational, like he beat his son to a point because he always did it, quote unquote, out of love and he would always turn it into some sort of a teaching experience.
Because initially we see him beating his son because he thinks that he's on dope or something, but then that's when Ricky comes up with whatever excuse, and then that's kind of when he, like, hugs him or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, so he's got his faculties enough to where he wouldn't just commit murder for no reason at all. And so he thinks I'm gay. Like, he wouldn't do that.
And I think there's enough of, like, you can see that there's a cool-down point for him with that initial beating. And the time frame between him going over to Kevin Spacey and then going back to his house or whatever, there's enough time for him to actually
think things through.
So it definitely, I don't think it was like a murder out of rage or anything like that.
Yeah, it was actually premeditated, and you know, he actually thought about it, and then
because there was a good like probably hour, like I know not like movie wise as far as like the run of it, but
the timeline wise,
yeah.
Because there had to have been enough time for him to get with that chick and
just contemplate and
almost
reflect
have
on
sex
everything.
And then make her dinner
tacos for not having. Tacos.
Whatever it is.
I didn't get you tacos.
Dinner
and
breakfast.
Tacos. So, anybody else pick favorite characters yet?
Bob's concentrating on the internet. He's looking for answers.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking up?
What does the internet say, Bob?
Well, I searched, was Colonel Fitz gay? It says, was Frank Fitz gay or not?
I was hoping you actually searched, was Colonel Fitz a gay?
I'm just searching images. I'm just kidding.
According to my research, yep.
Let me see.
All this fan fiction says.
Well, this person kind of... This person that answers this guy's post kind of sounds like he thinks he is gay. So it says, Frank Fitz is a closet/repressed homosexual. There are a few pointers for this. He had a Southern upbringing, one which is very Christian and anti-gay. He has a failed marriage and barely touches his wife. He was in the army, a society of men, possibly a lot of man-on-man action going on.
He's not in the Navy.
All these seamen. He is also vehemently anti-gay, which could be represented to be a form of Freudian projection, a defense mechanism for self-denial. Frank kissed Lester because he was under the mistaken impression that Lester was gay. Lester informed him that his wife was possibly out cheating on him. His own relationship with his wife was virtually non-existent, which led to believe that Lester and he were in similar situations. He finally caved into his desires, in many ways encouraged by Ricky's open, false confession of his sexuality. So it's a good point, but I'm glad it's at least disputed.
Yeah, maybe it was just kind of like up in the air kind of thing. Like he felt like he had to do it because he believed still that Kevin Spacey.
Maybe he doesn't know.
Well, no, like maybe like he realized what he was, but he still didn't truly believe that Kevin Spacey wasn't gay, so maybe he killed him because he was gay, but not because Kevin Spacey thought that he was gay, if that makes sense.
We're spending so much time on this.
Well, it's a big point, and what comes back to my mind,
Maybe nobody knows. I mean, yeah, maybe the characters themselves don't know.
What comes back to my mind though is, you know, he has this whole like trophy case, and in there is like a pretty dark memorabilia. The Nazi plate.
Yeah.
But he holds that in like such high esteem with all of his other like patriotic memorabilia, but he has that one thing that's kind of dark.
I have Nazi memorabilia, actually.
Well, 'cause you're white. I don't know. The Nazi plate kind of, I know there, like I said, it's one of those things that I know there's a meaning there, but I don't really get it. And maybe that's kind of it. That's emulating his character where he's this true patriot, but then also there's this one thing that's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. See, you're good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's really so much to this movie. And those are the movies I keep coming back to watch again and again.
There's so much deep symbolism in everything. So, we going to go to ratings?
Yeah. I'll go first. 85 out of 100.
So, an 8.5 out of 10.
I'd have to do the math, but it might be somewhere around.
So, a B out of a 10?
Yeah.
B out of 10. I like that. That's better. Yes.
I will give it 8,000 out of 10,000 babies.
Nice.
I'll give it...
Wait, I'm sorry. That's a reference to have like 10,000 of his babies,
yeah,
or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Making sure I got that one right.
Which was ad-libbed.
I give it...
Was it?
From a...
You can't talk, Mariah.
Shut up.
I think it was from like a Nickelback concert or something that girl Nobody went cares. To in real life. And she's like, she heard someone in the audience saying, I want 10,000 of your babies.
Oh, that's funny. Of all bands. All right, Maria, rating.
I give it 3 out of 4 boobs.
Oh, nice, nice.
And I give it...
How many nipples?
Damn it, that's my rating. No, stop. I give it 1...
One out of 2 butt cheeks.
Kevin Spacey out of...
Kevin Spacey's butt cheeks. Yeah. I give it Kevin Shower Spacey's butt cheeks.
Out of a bed jerk.
Okay. 1,800 chest hairs out of 2,000 chest hairs.
Oh, God. Is that all he had? I bet you had more.
Yeah, I'm sure he had more.
So I rate this movie 2 large...
Underage.
Oddly peach-colored underage nipples.
Are you talking about her big booby nipples?
Yes. Yeah. Her boobs were, like, mostly nipple.
They were almost the same color as her skin.
Yeah. And tiny little, like, huge areolas, tiny little pointy parts. Nipple parts.
I didn't pay this much attention to her tits.
Jason researched that scene a lot.
I feel Hold on, really stop. Awkward right Rewind. Now. Feel real awkward right now.
Zoom in. Enhance.
Well, if you would just grow out your nipples,
enhance. Fine.
If
enhance.
I would draw my nipples.
Yeah.
Having breastfeeding does weird things to boobs.
Prove it.
What's up with you trying to get my wife's shirt off?
What happened?
You're not down.
Boobies.
You're down, bro.
Because boobies.
Oh, man.
Oh. Where's Stacy? I can't do it without her.
I'll send you a pic. You
there
want.
We go.
Oh, God, no. Please don't.
Sent. So you owe me now.
No. Oh, well, no, 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 no.
All right.
Yeah. No, 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 no. As she's unlocking the phone and opening the text. Oh,
these are nice.
Oh, God. All right, I think that pretty much wraps up the show.
Wait, what was Matt's rating?
I did the
10,000 babies.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Babies. I'm sorry.
Yeah, obviously you weren't paying attention.
I'm sorry. I paid attention because I talked about it.
You
did,
and you just forgot.
And everybody, if you watch this movie in its entirety, don't drink marijuana, yes. And everybody, if you watch this movie in its entirety, you break the law.
I can't believe my grandma drank all my pot. Next time. Probably not, though.
No.
Grandma's Boy.
Eventually. Eventually on that movie podcast.
What Bob movie is that?
Grandma's Boy.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, it's a good one. Oh, it's a good one.
We got to do it.
Yep. You know what? That was on Netflix for cult movies.
You know what? That cool. should be Rob Weeks' episode.
What's his name? Who's the guy that he thinks he's a robot?
JD.
Yeah, he. That reminds me of Kylo Ren. So
yeah,
much.
That's what I. That's what I told Stacey afterwards. Like, oh, Rise of JD. Or something.
Why have we not seen that more on Facebook?
I don't know.
Is that Adam Driver?
No, he looks like him though.
He looks like him, and he like walks around and thinks he's a robot.
Let's close out this show now.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to That Movie Podcast.
We don't need to go through all the things, because...
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Oh, just list them.
I hate it. I hate listening to it.
It's because you know where to find us.
If you were listening for the
first time... No, I don't. Time, I don't even fucking know. Like, honestly, I don't know. I never know if it's That Movie Podcast.
Would you fucking shut up? God fucking damn it. Shit.
You're about to find out. Shit cunt. Ew.
Shit cunt.
Ew.
Band name. Hey, we're shit cunt. Polka band? They just picture some guy standing up on stage with a tuba. Yeah. I wish it cut. We're gonna rock your face.
And this is Oktoberfest.
That Movie Podcast. Our email is thatmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on the interwebs at thatmoviepod.blogspot.com, facebook.com/thatmoviepod, Twitter @thatmoviepod. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Dogcatcher, any podcast app, pretty much.
Any type of pod aggregator.
Yes.
If you can't find us, you should check your butt.
We're there.
Yeah.
We are in your butt. That Movie Pod, in your butt.
Or that really pokey one that comes out.
And if you can't find it, we'll check it for you.
There you go.
For free!
Yeah!
First time.
All right.
You're giving out free colonoscopies?
Mm-hmm. Colonoscopies.
I'll give you a colonoscopy.
Colonoscopies.
I'm just practicing.
The P means penis.
Bye, everybody!
Bye! All right, everybody. I'm going to try another sign out here. Don't be a dick.
Do what I want. Don't you fucking tell me what to do.
That's my sign out. Sign off.
Don't be a dick.
All right, everybody, remember, don't be a dick.
No, that one sucks.
Boop.
You know, there was a time that Daryl was in the break room, and
he had a whole watermelon.
He had a you guys quarter.
The Black Daryl, like,
yes,
like The Office,
yes.
And he's got a quarter of a watermelon in front of him, and I was about to do it, but I was afraid he'd notice I was going to do it. But I was going to take a picture of him eating this giant watermelon, post it online and say, I don't believe in stereotypes. Oh, you know, last time we were in there, Daryl does this whole, you know, it was just super complimentary to, like, people. It's like, oh, you know, he's telling Sam, when he first started, I didn't think he was going to be in this position and blah, blah, you know, and he's come so far, blah, blah. And Sam gets out and she goes, he is such an ass kisser.
So today, this morning, I get in to work, and Daryl's like, J-Mac, how you doing, man? And he's all, like, happy to see me. He's always, like, super happy to see me. He goes, if you're here, I know today's going to be a good day. And he goes, man, you know what? I got to say, Jason, I got to say, I mean, now, you're no Bob, but you're in a category.
This is a much more serious episode of this movie. Yeah.
This movie was way more serious.
Yeah.
Jason, take three more shots.
Yeah.
I haven't had any shots yet.
Take three more shots.
I've got like super heartburn right now. Please don't encourage this, Matt.
I don't want to stay up all night with him vomiting and pooping and
just more vomiting. Just go to bed.
I had to clean up puke out of the sink. I'm not kidding. It filled up half of it.
I thought it was contained in the tub.
It was disgusting.
No, it wasn't. It was like in our bathroom.
The most disgusting thing I've ever cleaned up in my entire life.
You have children. I don't believe
exactly.
You.
Exactly. No, it was awful.
It was. I'm not. No. Like, I poured the drain cleaner down the drain, and all the liquid
went.
It just made it angry. All the liquid went down the drain, except for everything that wasn't.
So just the drain went down and the
liquid
puke just stayed?
No,
the,
so all the non-digested.
Oh, my God.
Oh, food but was all kicked into the sink.
You haven't had
disgusting.
Eggs for a week.
It was like three scoops, two hand scoops.
Did you scoop it out with your hands?
She got a towel.
I got a towel and I threw it in the because I couldn't clean it. How was I supposed to clean it? So I got a towel.
Set the house on fire.
And I I got a towel and I scooped three gigantic handfuls of puke into the toilet, flushed it, and then I went outside and I threw the towel away.
Oh, I'm gonna gag right now.
And the outside. Ugh. It was disgusting.
It was disgusting. That's why
I like how you just walked away and none of us checked on you for like an hour.
Yeah, that's true. That's awful. She was just sitting here recording with me.
Like, well, I think there was a part where she was checking on him and Mariah was like, nah.
I handle
she goes, oh, he did this to himself.
Well, yeah. I made him some. He fell asleep.
Right now.
He fell asleep in. He fell asleep in the shower, with it going still.
I've done that before.
I wish we had video of that. I didn't even realize I was doing that until.
Jason said he's not embarrassed, but he's just like clapping his hands like this.
That's his tell right there.